X.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. You're listening to the XX Files. We've got B, please.
That's right.
We got Jules the Ghoul in the studio.
Yeah.
And we have IRL Human.
Hello.
Cool. We have a special show planned. We did an interview with Kimira Boyle, who was in residency at Studio XX until just recently. She was making an interactive non-linear Korsakov film based on her adoption number, 6261. Cool. So first we're going to play a clip of her talking about her project kind of at her, the beginning of her residency. This is in French. And then we're going to move right on into an interview we did with her after she had finished her project in English. So
hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, moving through language, space, and time here on the XX Files per usual.
Je m'appelle Kimura Piol, Nathalie Lemoine. Donc j'ai un projet qui s'appelle 6261 Montréal, qui est en fait un travail urbain sur la ville de Montréal et en connexion avec mon numéro d'adoption qui est 6261. Pour moi, c'était une excuse d'essayer de rencontrer les habitants de ce numéro dans 100 rues sélectionnées. J'ai développé ce travail depuis la Corée, depuis quand on a célébré les 50 ans d'adoption internationale avec la Corée. Et j'ai commencé à faire des projets où je me mettais avec mon numéro d'adoption devant l'orphelinat où j'étais pendant plusieurs mois, puis à l'agent d'adoption qui m'a envoyé en Belgique, en Corée du Sud, puis l'agent d'adoption en Belgique, et puis la première maison où j'étais adoptée, chaque fois avec mon numéro d'immatricule, on peut dire. Et puis j'ai fait la même chose ici à l'ambassade de Corée avec l'exposition Orientity qui était à la centrale il y a presque 10 ans. Donc je pense que ce travail s'inscrit, c'est un peu l'itinéraire, c'est un peu mon parcours diasporique. Que ce soit négatif ou pas négatif, c'est pas ça le propos. C'est une question de le tourner de façon artistique et qui puisse joindre d'autres personnes sur l'idée d'immigration, d'identité, la question du trafic humain aussi, la question de comment s'en sortir, être survivor. Et donc c'est une résidence de 6 semaines qui me permet de développer un film à narration non linéaire. Donc c'est-à-dire que je ne connais pas du tout ce programme, mais donc le fait que j'ai la chance d'avoir cette résidence, je peux apprendre à le connaître, à le maîtriser en gros. Et donc pour moi, je suis une artiste normalement calligraphe, vidéo, peinture, un peu de photographie, mais les arts numériques n'étaient pas du tout dans mon optique vraiment. Et je pense que le studio XX m'a permis de en visionner en tout cas un projet qui était plus qui était un challenge pour moi en fait. Et le fait qu'il y ait le soutien du studio, ça me donnait aussi un endroit où je pouvais me lancer là-dedans, dans cette aventure, je pense. Donc ça m'amène aussi à découvrir de nouvelles communautés ou formes d'art. Donc je pense que c'est toujours un plus de s'intéresser à ce studio et puis j'espère qu'il vivra longtemps.
You just kind of give an overview of your project and the significance of the number 6261.
Okay. So the number 6261 is my adoption number that I got from Korea, from my adoption agency in Korea. And that's how we number children to be adopted overseas.
And so my number was 62, 61. When I came in Montreal 10 years ago about, I was working on Saint Laurent. And then I realized that the number were getting higher and higher. It's not like in Europe where the number are very not getting over 500 or something. It's very long avenue or street. So because I'm from Belgium and I lived in Korea you have a different address system, which is by block. We don't have a street, we have blocks. So that number doesn't exist neither in Korea nor in Europe. So what I discovered in North America that the streets are very long. So I walk on Saint Laurent and couldn't find the 6261 because it was a gas station, Canadian Tire, if I can mention it.
Ah, okay.
And so my number was jumped to the next block, which is from Bellechasse to Beaubien. Is the block 6200 to 6300. So that's how I understood the city, how it functions. So it's about one block, 100 number. When I got the idea to make maybe a project that is more urbanist, mm-hmm. urban, so to try to discover Montreal when I decide to immigrate to Canada, to Montreal. And so I think when you go to a new place, you want to get to know people also. And because Montreal is very large island, but not a very big population. I mean, comparing with Korea and maybe Seoul, 15 million.
Yeah.
And here it's not many, 1.5 million maybe with Longueuil and Laval. So I understood that they have division between Francophone, Anglophone, and East-West, and different kind of cultural ethnicity, language neighborhood. So I decided to take that number as an excuse to try to meet those people. My work since 2003 start with the concept of working on the number 100, which in Korean means also wide, when the sound back, it means wide and 100, the number 100. But wide, I work on the whiteness and post-colonialism with that concept. And also the number 100, I start with a piece called 100 White Korean. And it was a picture of Korean adoptees, black and white, adopted in white families. So from that time, I start to work on 100 centimeter on 100 centimeter artwork, 100 minute videos, or 100 second. 100 year was my grandma anniversary, so I did a video on her. And so 100 gram of hair also, I work on that. So that number is very significant, so I choose 100 addresses. I check on Google and they told me, Google lied to me because they said that those addresses existed, but in fact 70 envelopes came back to me saying that that address doesn't exist. So I kept those addresses and it took about between 2 weeks to a month to come back, so it's not very fast, but among those 100 letters, about 30 didn't come back. But from that, I was asking to those people who were leaving those addresses to communicate with me if they want to participate to my project. So it was an interactive project. And so they three of them answered me by Facebook, which was good because they were like maybe between 35 to 50 years old, so you maybe wouldn't think that they would use that. I gave my email, they didn't answer by email. So it was interesting how people now with the new media platform, how they use it and to go quicker. So I met three of them. I got one rejection from one Vietnamese guy who was working all the time, so he didn't have time and didn't like art. he told me. And then, but his son was interesting to participate, but he couldn't because he was too young. And then I get one single mother who was working, and the nanny answered me, but she never got back to me. So I had different, one guy was sick. I went to east, very far east, on Julen or something like that, and Anjou. And then the guy was, I was in front of his building, and he was coming in with dry clothes, like cleaning. And I asked him if he was living there, if I could take a picture of him in front of his building, and he said, oh no, it's not for me, I'm not photogenic. So it's just funny how people interact. And so I decided also to go to places where officially the number exists on Google and place myself front of it with my adoption number from it. So in the between place. Mm-hmm. And because maybe you don't know visually, but adoption picture from a certain adoption agency in Korea you have as a prisoner. So it's not like written on your file, but it's, you had to hold it.
Okay.
So that's why I wanted to do the same gesture in a city where often people are displaced or choose to immigrate or come. And so that was my work. So I had a very good exchange with those three people who volunteer. We share stories and it was very interesting. So I made out of it picture, photograph, and video and sound. And now at Studio X6, I try to make a cross-cycle film.
Cool. So what role does the platform that's like interactive and non-linear, like what does this kind of interactivity and non-linear narrative mean to your story?
Because it's always as an adoptee, it's like I think you have the question, if you were not abandoned, if you were not adopted, if you find your family, your birth family, I mean, and so many potential different storylines that I've been questioning always with that project, people, if they decide to choose that part because of the image is more appealing to them, or this image because it's more fun for them. So that's why I think Corsaco was a very good platform for me to make different stories of the same kind of conceptual work.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay. That's really interesting.
Okay.
You think of it's not linear the way that you feel about it. Okay, that's really interesting. And so, what did you learn about Montreal in this project, or about displacement, or about your own story?
My own story, not much, except that of course I'm a person of color. That's obviously something. I'm androgyne looking. I'm queer, so I had a question about how far can my face show that I'm very queer, and my look also. So I couldn't pretend to be a heteronormative person. So I was putting myself not especially in a safe space because I didn't know how people would interact since I was going to their place when they invite me. I didn't mention that in my letter, of course, but it was everywhere on my Facebook page that I participate to queer event, that some of my work is specifically about LGBTIQ rights and stuff. So some people asked me about my orientation and were curious about what meant queer for them. They were all francophone. I met by chance a couple who were renting by month a place, but they didn't receive the letter. But in this, they were kind of wondering why I was going to their place because nobody knew they were there. But it's like I had mostly people who were like not wealthy, but like middle class people, to bought their own place, and it was like step by step. They were not like rich, but they step by step renovate their place, they make it bigger, nicer, and they explained that they chose a place where it was a bit cheaper at the time. So I knew the neighborhood maybe at east was more like Ukrainian, and the Vietnamese guy was is more in Little Saigon, that we call is between in Rosemont.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was the only one who was working he was working 6 days a week in a Vietnamese restaurant, and was not very interested in the project. But I wonder if it was because I was Asian and maybe I had a Japanese name. So the with the Vietnamese, because we know about the war in Asia, the colonialism of Japanese over Asia, I didn't know because of my name, Kimura, was a problem for him. And so it's always I wonder because Asian between themselves are pretty racist.
Mm-hmm.
And his first generation, I think he was a boat people. So I don't know what was maybe his rejection, or he was simply busy, or because maybe of my look. I never know why I get that. But the three other person were very nice and welcoming. They were Caucasian. They had a work. One was social worker. The other one, a restaurant, had a restaurant with her partner. And the other one was a French newcomer, I mean, maybe 5-7 years, and build a family here. And so it was interesting that to see that the French woman talked to me about adoption and in her way. And then the guy was asking why, what it means to be queer, what is different from me, or because he had two daughters, so he was wondering about his daughter or so. So it was kind of funny because we had a very, maybe 1 or 2 hour conversation. I taped everything. And then I took some portion that was not too private, because they were telling me all the story, like how, when they divorced, when they did, and who was living there, and everything. But I think the part that I took was the thing that can be understood by most of people without revealing too much of them, out of them,
mm-hmm.
and making a different story for the project. Yeah.
Well, were you surprised at how much people revealed to you when you sat down and talked to them as complete strangers?
I felt like a psychoanalyst, or not psychoanalyst, because I said, and then tell me more. But it was like they felt comfortable with me, and I told them I will show them before I have I do the final project. So they have the right to see, of course, and I will keep it secret, of course. It's like I will not show the work to anybody else than them. So that's the respect that I owe them, of course.
And they'll be part of the editing process.
Yeah, they already like agree from what I show, because I put a private link to the videos,
mm-hmm.
and they say it's okay. So.
Okay, excellent.
So, and those part will be from the project. Also, from maybe an exhibition or something.
Okay, cool. What's next? Do you have anything else planned for around the 62-61 number? Is this something you're going to continue working with?
Yeah, I think that number is like I'm a Korean adoptee activist. What it means is like I fought for the right for adoptees who want to come back to Korea to have more right than a simple tourist.
Oh.
To open file for birth search, birth family search, to ask the government to give us free courses, or at least a bunch of class in universities where Korean adoptees can be accepted and not pay, mm-hmm. or pay less, have a sale price or something. So I was living there when I was between 23 to 38. So I stayed there for a long time, and because I stayed for a long time, and I was always pushing them to change some mentality on Korean international adoptees, not the mm-hmm. domestic adoptees, that my work, I met the first body of work of 62-61 was in painting first, and I used the 6 as a fetus.
Okay.
So so that was my first attempt. And then after I did with other adoptees front of the adoption agencies, mm-hmm. like in Denmark, in France, and other countries, in front of the first home also. So I did some videos of 100 seconds asking them to not move and think about that moment when they arrived or when they were abandoned or when they were adopted. So it's very internal, mm-hmm. but then my dream is of course to make 100 videos of 100 adoptees.
Okay.
But then the 62-61, I did the first project where I did all the way back front of my first home in Belgium, then my first adoption agency in Belgium, my adoption agency in Korea, my orphanages, and the place I was found with my adoption number as I did here. I did also here with the Korean embassy okay. with that number, so it didn't, Korean embassy didn't really like that.
Oh.
That's normally it's like taboo subject.
Yeah. And so do you find that this kind of like interactive art is what makes it particularly useful for you in kind of exploring this like diaspora and displacement?
I think displacement and diaspora talk to a lot of people, not only me, and everybody interpret or translate it in their own way, artistic way, or writing, or filming, sound, everything. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's because I'm more a visual person, and I'm more like ADD, and more not very social introvert. I think it's a way to challenge myself, to tell myself people are not that scary or something. But also it talked to a larger community of adoptees, not Korean adoptees only, but also international adoptees, interracial adoptees, and also just people who've been maybe from divorce or, you know, like also people who were born in Sussex, you know, like without known parents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think it's, I talk to many people in the way that they want to grab something from what I share.
Okay. Oh, that makes perfect sense. Excellent. Is there anything else you want to mention about your project or your time here at Studio XX?
Yeah, I want to thank Studio XX de May, Montreal Art Interculturel, and also BND, Janeline and Eloisa Aquino, who did a zine of my work.
Right.
Yeah, all the collaborators who work with me and trust me. I hope I can be how do you say, à la hauteur de, mm-hmm. De leur aide.
Mm-hmm. Voilà. Okay. And when the film is complete, where can we see it?
It will be online, and maybe I'll share with you if on your website, and then as soon as it's online, yeah.
We will link to it. Okay, excellent.
Merci.
Great, thank you so much.
This is General Truth, and when I'm in Montreal, I tune into CKUT 90.3 on the FM band. Race them a look and can't run it. Reach the furlong point and all them can't start it. We bypass enough of them down at the market. All 20 more miles, we burn it. CKUT Radio 90.3 on the FM band. General Truth, bless.
Are you looking for new co-conspirators to smash patriarchy? Feminist radio producers at CKUT seeking all like-minded revolutionaries in Montreal for feminist speed plotting. Meet us at NDQ at 32 Rue Beaubien East on Saturday night, October 22nd at 6 p.m. Blazing performances, DJ sets to put the house on fire, striking hosts, and more. Lit up prizes like feminist art, books, music, show tickets, suggested donations between $5 to $10. This is a fundraising event for CKUT, so while you're finding your next revolution comrade, you're also helping us stay alive. See you there.
Welcome back to the XX Files on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Hello again.
Welcome back.
So we just heard a seriously fascinating interview with Kimura while Nathalie Lemoine, I'm not sure that I said her name.
You said it right. Lemoine, yeah.
Be Youth. Okay, cool. Who was in studio at Studio X, in residence at Studio XX from August 25th to October 9th, and she made a non-linear narrative and interactive film in Corsica software. And so, yeah, we popped in to Studio XX and spoke with Mira about their project and learned so much. That was fascinating. Like, yeah, just sounded. How about how tracing this one number, 6261, really, it, like, so much unfolded about displacement, about diaspora, about adoption, about Montreal, like, queerness and race and class and...
Yeah, I love how she dug into her roots and made it in a very nice, like you said, like the displacement of her showcase. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And she mentioned at the end that she has a film tied in with that.
Yeah, she's actually doing a feature. She's going to be doing interviews. Like, it's a fiction. It's going to be like interviews of like, grandparents. Is that what she
mentioned? Yeah, she's also working on another feature film.
Yeah, it was
going to
be in Belgium, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it's pretty sweet.
And Kimira also just won the Powerhouse Prize from La Centrale.
Amazing.
So, like, artists to know in Montreal. That is for sure.
Definitely. You can check her out as well on Studio XX's website.
Totally. And another thing to check out on the internet that has to do with Studio XX is the HTMLE Festival.
Yay!
Coming up so soon, November 3rd to 6th.
We're very excited about it. We're going to be there and covering most of the events.
Yeah, checking all the exhibitions and artists.
It's jam-packed, like, of cool, like, interactive art, digital art, performances, and also, like, a conference at McGill. So, super dynamic festival. It's going to be off the hook.
Yeah, and their theme this year is about in terms of privacy.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So, yeah, so much going on. And then this week also starts the CKUT funding drive.
Ooh, guys.
On the 20th. So,
donate.
Like, start looking in your couch or, like, emptying out your pockets. Whatever you find, put it away. And then donate it to CKUT.
Send it over to us.
Give it to us. Give us the money.
Cool. So
that was the show for today.
Thanks for checking in.
And happy Wednesday from the XX Files, CKUT 90.3 FM.